This evening, I'd like to continue talking to you about winning souls. I'm talking to you in the sense of encouraging you, the sense of letting you know that it's possible for each one of us to win souls. And it's interesting that when Jesus began his public ministry, two of the very first, and then right behind it, two more, were fishermen. Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter, and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he said unto them, things are going to change. He said, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And straightway they left their nets and followed him. And going out from thence, he saw two other brethren, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, in a ship with Zebedee, their father, mending their nets. And he called them, and immediately they left their ship and their father and followed him. I believe that God chose fishermen as part of his team, because the principles of catching fish and catching men are a lot the same. And I'm sure there's many of you have fished. How many have ever caught, I'm talking a swimming fish. How many have ever caught a fish in your life? Let's see your hands. Okay. Not too bad. Charlie, did you have your hand up? I've been with you several times and I've never seen anything come in. Sorry. You're the only one of the fishermen that are here, Charlie, so I'm just hitting you especially, all right? But that's a thrill to get a fish on. I mean, you never know what you got when you go out in the Gulf especially. Man, when that thing starts zinging, you have no idea what you're going to catch. And of course, some of them have got the world's largest fish until they bring it in the boat. And it's amazing how that fish can shrink from, you know, a great big one to just one you throw back from the distance of the water to the top of the boat, you know, where you have to show it to everyone. But anyway, so much for those who brag. But I want to share just a few principles. Think about fishing tonight. Just think about it. My father-in-law, Lou's daddy, was the one that taught me to fish. I had fished a little bit up in Canada. Of all places, you should be a fisherman, but no one in our family fished except I would get with one of the guys and we'd go down and sit on one of the piers and throw some worms on a hook and catch some few speckled perch or something like that. And just as a kid, almost with a cane pole. There are three principles to catching fish. Number one, you got to locate them. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. I've never caught a fish in my bathtub. Nor the commode. Now, there's water there. But there's no fish in a bathtub. At least I hope not. But you know, if you're going to catch fish, the first thing you got to do is go where they are. You got to go to them. The fish don't come to you unless you're sitting on a riverbank and then they may swim by. But even then, you've got to be where they are and you've got to go to them. And folks, I can't tell of about maybe two or three people in my entire ministry where fish, men, have come to me in this matter of getting saved. I just can't recall that. But I can recall many, many, many that I went to them and found them where they are. And folks, that's still the best fishing grounds. Go where they are. Don't wait for them to come to you. Go where they are. And I found something else. If you can find a place where no one else fishes, A chance of catching fish is pretty good because it hasn't been fished out, so to speak. Some lakes, they've so fished it that you can sit there all day and hardly get a bite, let alone a fish, because it's fished out. And I'm convinced that's why many times on the mission field, and you think especially of the European countries like Russia and Poland and Siberia and all of those places, Germany and the various European countries, are just, when they go there, there's all kinds of people getting saved. You can go to England or Scotland and Ireland and preach your heart out for a week or two, and you may never get one person saved. But you go to Europe today, that part of Europe, and you can hand out tracts and they take them. You can hand out Bibles and they'll mob you. You can start preaching on a corner and people will respond right there publicly to the message of the gospel. Why? Because it's never been fished. They've never heard. The communist countries have had the gospel forbidden to them. And now that the iron wall and the brick wall and the Berlin Wall have all come down, now we can go in with the gospel, and these people are hungry. They've never been told. Now, you really want to get into fishing? Go to a place that's never heard. And when they see what you have to live before them, and you open to them the gospel, you're going to find that people are there. But listen, you say, what about America? Everybody's heard it. Sure they have. But everybody hasn't heard the true gospel. There's so much perversion in the gospels out there. So many things they add to the gospel. And if you add anything to the gospel, it's not good news anymore. Some people add baptism. Some people add the sacrament. Some people this and some people that. You've got to have a charismatic experience, and if you don't speak in tongues, you've never been saved, and all of that stuff that is not biblical. And so therefore, if you will just find out where people have never really heard, then you can get the opportunity of giving people the gospel. I had never heard the gospel in all my life. Never. No one ever clearly gave me the plan of salvation. And the first time that I heard the gospel preached, I went forward and received Christ as my Savior. I'd never heard it preached. Oh, I had someone give a testimony. But no one ever, ever preached the gospel to me and gave an invitation. And so we need to realize that there are plenty of people who have never heard the gospel in Tampa, in this entire area. And I found something else about fishing. I found that they come in schools. You say, what do you mean? I'll tell you one thing. When the snooks start running, you get one, you're going to get more. The redfish come in, you're going to get more. And you run into a mess of trout, you're going to get more. If you can find where the bass are hitting, you get one, you're going to get more. Hey, listen, have you ever thought that if you could win one person to Christ in the family, you could probably get the whole family? That's the thing we need to understand, that they're in schools. And I'll tell you this, we have a lot of emphasis on getting the bus ministry and bringing children in. But have you ever thought that if you could get the dads, you could probably get the whole family? Think it through. Because those places where you can get one, there's usually more. And you need to follow up on that. And then another thing I found. If you fish when they're hungry, you're going to get more fish. You see, what do I mean? I mean this. When they're like in a revival time, or perhaps a strong salvation message, and someone raises their hand, somebody ought to get to that person in the right after the service, soon as Soonest word to Smith. If that person didn't come, someone ought to go lovingly, kindly, man on man and a woman with a woman. But just simply to walk up and say, I'm Mrs. So-and-so or I'm Mr. So-and-so and I'm so glad you came. And then simply, what did you think of the message today? Not the messenger, the message. And then you simply say, could it be that God is speaking to your heart? Don't say, I saw your hand. Just say, could it be that God's speaking to your heart? I'm talking to you folks here now. I'm not talking to the staff. I'm talking to each one of us. There's people all around you in services that are lost. And it could be that all it would take is for you to just simply say, listen, could I sit down for a minute and show you what God is really saying? You would be surprised in a meeting where you sense the Spirit of God, in a meeting where the gospel's been presented clearly, the invitation is given, and perhaps that person didn't come forward, or perhaps you noticed that because you're sitting in that area, you kind of heard the hand go up. And oh, what an opportunity, because of the fact that these people have heard the truth. They may not know what to do, but if someone just took a moment and said, could I take my Bible and show you? Fish, when they're hungry, and when God's message has been preached and someone's been touched, they're open. They're ready. They're hungry. And all it'll take is just a very kind and loving fisherman to take the word and show them how to be saved. So we've got to locate them first of all. And I want to say this. The woods are full of them. May I say the lakes are full of them. The Gulf is full of them. Tampa's full of them. Your workplace, your school is full of them. And all it takes is someone with a burdened heart and a prayerful heart, and God will use you when you start really asking God to make you a soul winner. You can do it. You can do it. The only requirement you need is to have a born again experience so you understand what they really need. So, first of all, locate them. Secondly, lure them. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. He said, his lure, his means of reaching people was the gospel, the good news. And again, I want to remind you that there are people every day that you and I know that don't know how to be saved. You say, oh, no, come on, preacher, it's on the radio. All of that. I gave them a tract. Hey, someone gave me tracts when I was in the hospital before I was saved. I never read the first one. I didn't even know what they were. But I just put it aside and never read it. And so I'm trying to get across to you tonight that there are people all around that are lost, and yet they need to be presented the gospel lure. Now, any fisherman knows that if you're going to catch a fish, you better keep yourself out of the way. You start banging around the boat or start making a lot of noise in the water, especially if you were snook fishing. I can see a guy going snook fishing. He's afraid of getting a stingray, Dick. So he's walking like this. I got news for you. He's not going to catch any snook. Because snook, You can walk up on a snook by going real slow in the water, and you almost step on it, and suddenly that thing will turn to get away, and you'll think someone turned a washing machine on right in front of you. I mean, that water just boils. I mean, scares you half to death. Why? You scared him. You got in the way. You were too quick. And I think sometimes we get in the way of people. They see us and not the message. Or they see things in us that turns the message off. And Christian, we would be much better soul winners if we could keep ourselves out of the way. And I'm afraid sometimes we're so quick to tell people what Jesus has done for us, and yet He didn't tell us to give our testimony. He told us to give the gospel. And we need to learn that. Another thing, you need to keep the lure clean. I've never caught, now some people may have, but I've never caught a snook with a dirty plug. Other words, if I got a bunch of trash on it, the thing I do is bring it in real quick and get the trash off and throw it back out. I don't know anyone who's caught a snook with his mouth full of trash that he got off your plug. It's not the trash that attracts them, it's the plug. And when the plugs work properly, that fish is going to grab it. And so we got to be careful we keep our lives clean. Christian, please. You're not going to be used of God if there's sin in your life. God's not going to use the dirty vessel. God's not going to use someone who is just to the world. And the world has a higher standard than you and I do. They expect more of a Christian than sometimes we expect of ourselves. They got some idea that if you become a Christian, boy, you're going to be a real saint. Well, you are. But they want to see the saint. And so therefore, many a time we don't lure them because they see something inconsistent in our lives. And then you've got to present that lure in such a way not to frighten them, run them off. I have found this personally. I don't buttonhole people. And by that, I mean the way we used to when we used to go out as young preacher boys. We had a lot of zeal, but not much knowledge. And boy, everybody we'd see, we'd stop and say, "Hey, are you saved?" And really, you know. But then God began to show us that there's a better way. And again, please don't misunderstand me. There are a few individuals who can present it that way and reach people. I know of some. But I'm just saying the average person, I'm afraid that we've got to learn to come on to them as the Lord opens the conversation. When I go in to make a visit, I'll give you, for instance, when my wife and I visited a lady with cancer, my wife talked to her for at least 20 minutes, maybe 25 minutes, just about cancer. And they sat there, and she was there. My wife was sitting next to her. I was over here on the couch, just sitting down. And my wife just talked on her about all the difficulties and the thing, trying to encourage her and trying to help her to see that she understood. And then when I could tell that Luann was through, I just quietly slipped up, and there was a little, what do you call a thing you put your feet up on? Yeah, that's it. And anyway, there was one of them, ottoman, footstool. It was there, and so I just walked over. And I said, "Ma'am," I said, "my wife has experienced cancer as you have, different kind, but still cancer. But I want you to understand that there's something worse than cancer, and that is sin." And I wanted to share with you a few moments, just some verses. And I turned my Bible to the plan of salvation, the Roman road. And just very quietly, very simply, went through the plan of salvation with this lady. When I finished, I gave her a chance to receive Christ. And I said, "Ma'am, you understand now that you are a sinner, and as a sinner, you're lost. And as you know, you have cancer, and you have only so long to live. You've told my wife that. But when you die, if you die without Christ, you're lost, and you have no hope. But the good news is that Christ died for you and paid your penalty, and He loves you so much that He wants to come into your heart and save you." And I said, "Ma'am, would you like to be saved?" And by the way, I called her by name all along. But I said, "Ma'am, would you like to be saved? Would you like the Lord Jesus to forgive you, come into your heart and save you?" And she looked at me and said, "Yes, I would." And I just quickly, very quickly said, "Now, do you understand you're a sinner? Do you know if you die, you're lost? Do you know now that Jesus paid your penalty and rose from the dead and wants to come in? And He will come in if you open the door." And I shared Revelation 3:20, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hear my voice and open the door, I will come in. Would you like Him to come into your heart right now?" She said, "I sure would." We bowed. I prayed the sinner's prayer. She prayed the sinner's prayer. And when we finished, I gave her some assurance. And folks, I just want you to know, when we left there, that woman was a different person. There was joy for the first time. And later, she told some people who had told my wife and I about her. She told them and said, "Hey, the pastor came by with his wife and they talked to me. And I received Jesus as my Savior." My wife and I made a visit to that same home Tuesday night just to follow up. And we caught her alone and we talked to her for a half an hour. My wife helped her back to bed and sort of took care of her physically after we had talked and encouraged her. And we left and went home. And yet we were told today that this lady said, "You know, when I first got cancer and they told me I was going to die, everybody and their brother-in-law came to see me. But then when it wasn't quite as critical, yes, I'm still going to die," and she's up to 330, whatever it is, milligrams or whatever, of morphine a day. And when she said, "But now that I'm not going to die right away, nobody comes. And today I was absolutely at my lowest time. I was just alone. There was no one there with me. And a knock on, comes on the door. And you and your wife came. And it just thrilled me to death. Because she just sat down and talked and encouraged me and read the scripture and prayed with me. And she said, it was just what I needed." Folks, what am I saying? I'm saying that when you win someone to Jesus Christ, keep praying for them, keep visiting them. But folks, don't ever give up on them. She hasn't joined our church, and I don't know if she will. I don't know if she's physically able to be baptized. But thank God she's saved by grace through faith plus nothing. And she did come to church for some time until she took a turn for the worse. But I'm saying to you, we've got to love these people and keep encouraging them. And then finally, and let's get this, we go to where the fish are, we present the lure, we get them on, then we got to land them. And folks, if you don't land them, you didn't catch them. You know, I've met a lot of guys in this church who've told me about the big fish they caught. And I said, "Where is it?" He said, "Oh, man, I was picking it up just coming into the boat and it got off." You didn't catch a fish. You played around. But catching a fish is taking one from the water and putting it into the boat. That's catching a fish. And you may say you had one on. That's fine. But don't tell me you caught a fish. You don't catch it until you land it. And the fish know that. Why do you think just about the time you're going to bring that fish in, he has that second wind and he takes off like he had never been caught? I mean, he just is going to do everything he can. Once he sees the boat or the motor or something like that, he is going to get out of there. And many a time, that's when he gets off, because he breaks the line, he wraps it around something. He'll do anything he can to get off. Folks, we've got to land them. And, you know, I noticed when Jesus had called Andrew to the ministry, it wasn't long before Andrew went and got Peter and brought Peter to the Lord. And that's the way it goes. And so, let me just help you in this matter of landing. Whenever you witness to someone and the opportunity is there, always give them a chance to receive Christ. You say, well, preacher, they're not ready. How do you know? If you gave them the gospel, and the gospel is the power of God unto salvation, how do you know when they're ready? You can't always tell. Always give them a chance. And I'm not trying to say, grab them by the collar, say, hey, you need to get saved right now. No, I'm just saying, just simply and kindly said, sir, ma'am, would you like to trust Jesus Christ right now? And then you've given them an opportunity. Now, when you try to bring that fish in, watch out for snags. I mean, watch out. Those sinners are going to put up a fight. For instance, they're going to say, well, let me tell you something, preacher, or whoever you are. Let me tell you something. What about the heathen in Africa? I've been asked that a dozen times, soul winning. What about the heathen in Africa? Now, by the way, they're not interested in the heathen in Africa. Because if they were, they'd be there. See, that's a snag. And so don't answer it. I mean, just skip around and say, hey, I'll talk to you about that later. Or they'll say, hey, what about hypocrites in the church? I said, hey, we got room for more. Come on in. I really did one time. I really did. I said, come on, there's plenty of room. And the guy said, I like that. Don't do that often, though. And then here's one. You tell me, preacher, there's a God when those innocent children in a war are being bombed and killed and all of that stuff. How in the world could there be a loving God who would let children die in these terrible wars? Again, it's a snag. They're not interested in children getting killed. If they did, they'd be with the Red Cross. So you've got to watch out for the snags. And secondly, when they finally bite and get on, keep the line tight. You say, what do you mean? Well, if you get a fish on and you don't take up the slack, he is going to be able to wrap around the motor, or he's going to be able to wrap around a snag. He's going to get away. But if you keep it tight, you keep the pressure on the fish. And when you see someone get under conviction, and if you're a soul winner, you'll soon learn when they're under conviction. But you're going to find out that if you will just keep gradually bringing them in, keep working them in. They may back off a little, but bring them back. Keep the line tight with another verse, another verse, another verse. I have found that the more verses you use in that landing, the better opportunity you have of bringing that fish in, because the Word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. And that's your strength and your weapon. And then, of course, when you get them where they're ready, and you can tell that, a fish usually turns on its side when it's tired. But when you get that sinner to the place where you can tell they quit fighting, take the net, the gospel, and bring them in. Just give them the invitation. Would you like right now to open your heart and receive Jesus Christ as your Savior? They say, yes. Do you know you're a sinner? Yes. Do you know if you died, you go to hell? Yes. Do you know that God loves you, Jesus died for you? Yes. And do you believe that if you believe on the Lord Jesus, if you receive Him, if you open the door of your heart, He will come in? Yes. Let's pray, I say, and lead them to Christ. Now, folks, I've shared this with you tonight just so that you would understand that this matter of soul winning is not something that, you know, you've got to be a preacher or full-time worker. All you've got to be is saved. That's all. And when you go to a person and just share them how you got saved, you've given them the gospel. If you got saved by the gospel, then you can give them the gospel. You can know 5 verses and lead people to Christ. You can just know 5 of them. Now, that's only a skeleton, and the more you do, the more you want to add to that, so you put some more meat on it. But many a time, you can lead a person to Christ with 5 verses of Scripture. But folks, you'll never lead anyone to Christ unless you go fishing. You'll never do it. You can talk about it. You can take courses on it. You can promise God about it. But if you don't open your mouth and actually try to do it, you'll never win people to Jesus Christ. Let's pray.